as we come to the closing part of our service to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 11, Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. There's a text that I want to leave with you tonight at this family service that is found towards the end of the chapter. It's not the message that I intended to preach this evening. I had prepared something entirely different. But all week, having listened to the cantata choir, this verse has been ringing in my mind, in my heart, and I've been singing it, not when people are about, maybe just to my wife, but I've been singing it, not as well as the cantata, mind you, but wonderful words of the Savior. And I was able to share this with a dear brother who is coming through a difficult time in his life. I want to preach it in the gospel tonight, but the message is so appropriate to God's people as well. The text is, and it's verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Come unto me, says Jesus Christ here in verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a great memory text. I'm sure if you're brought up in the gospel, came to Sunday school, children's meetings, it's a verse that you've learned in your childhood and has stuck with you ever since. It's a great soul-winning text. It is short, it is simple, it is straight to the point, and Jesus is the author of these precious, tender, appealing words. He himself, who is the one who graciously invites the sinner to come to him, that they might have spiritual rest and satisfaction. We often quote these powerful words of entreaty and exhortation in our sermons as we implore sinners to come to Christ. And it's this verse that I want to leave with you tonight. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Perhaps no verse in the whole of Scripture has been handled in the pulpit more frequently than this. And yet it has not been exhausted and never can be. It is a great soul-saving text." Spurgeon himself preached 9 times on this verse of Scripture from Matthew 11, verse 28. And it is my prayer as we set before you, and I'm putting a title on this message tonight, "The Tender Plea of Christ to Troubled Souls," that you will look to him, that you will come to him, because that's what the Lord is instructing us to do in this verse of Scripture, that you will trust him, that you will flee to him, that you will say, "O Lamb of God, I come." There was a day when Charlotte Elliott yielded herself to Christ. She came to the Savior. In early life, she had been lighthearted and careless. A godly Swiss preacher, Dr. Mallon, a friend of her parents, came to stay at their home. When asked by the preacher if she was a Christian, Charlotte very abruptly told him to mind his own business. He did not reply to the rude rebuff, but Charlotte was evidently troubled in her conscience. And one day when Dr. Mallon was strolling in the garden, she approached him and apologized for her rudeness and said to him, "I should like to come to Christ, but I don't know how." "Come just as you are," was his immediate reply, "with your fightings and fears, hates and loves, jealousies and your quick temper, your pride and shame." And so it was that Charlotte Elliott accepted Christ as her Savior, and 13 years later, when she was depressed at her inability to help others because of her disability, Charlotte lifted her pen and she wrote one of the most beautiful hymns that we have in her hymn book. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Based on Dr. Mallon's words, come just as you are. Thank God for those who have responded to Christ's gracious plea. But there are those, and they're here tonight, and you still have not responded. You have not come. You have not received Christ. May this be the night when you will hear the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. May you hear this word powerfully, effectually, and come to Christ. I want to leave just some simple thoughts with you just in the closing minutes of the meeting. First of all, there is here, in the words of our Savior, a plain invitation. And it's all encapsulated in the word, come. This is the gospel call. The whole gospel invitation can be summarized in one word, and it's this word, come. We are instructed, we are invited over and over again in the Scriptures to come. Come to the Lord. We think of that come into the place of safety. The very first mention of the word in the Bible, back in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, when the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark. We have that come for personal cleansing. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We have that come for a satisfying portion in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. We have the come in the New Testament that speaks about the king's urgent request in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 4, where the Lord says, come unto the marriage. And then we have that come to the gospel feast. Very similar words in Luke 14 and verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. There is the come to the heavenly kingdom that is prepared. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then there is this come in our text for rest of soul. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This invitation is given by Jesus Christ himself as Lord of all. He holds, as it were, the golden scepter that we may touch the top of it and live. He's the only Savior. He is the physician, the advocate, and the redeemer. And he wants you to come. Oh, will you not come at the invitation of Christ? Secondly, there is a precious specification. Jesus says, come unto me. Christ doesn't say come without giving some direction where to come. He specifies it here. He says, unto me. We are directed to Christ, not the church, not the sacraments, not baptism, not the Lord's Supper, not the rites and the rituals of any church, not to a denomination, not to ministers, priests, or popes, not to creeds or church confessions, not to ordinances or disciplines. It is to Christ and Christ alone. He has all the sinner wants. He has all the sinner needs. He implores you in love and grace, come unto me. I came into this world for you, he would say. I lived a perfect life of obedience in this earth for you. I kept the broken law. I went to the cross of Calvary. I suffered and bled and died. I endured the eternal wrath of God. I made full and perfect satisfaction. I met all the demands of divine justice. I turned away the holy and the righteous anger of God against sin for you. I bore your sins. I paid the debt in full. I opened the door into heaven. Jesus says, come unto me. Oh, you must come and come to Christ crucified. Venture all upon his atoning sacrifice, but only Christ can save you. And then notice with me that there is a particular qualification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. This text does not belong to everyone. This invitation belongs to a particular people. Christ does not address himself to those who see themselves righteous or worthy. No, it is an appeal to those who labor and are heavy laden. Is that you tonight? Do you feel your load of guilt in your heart? Do you sense a weight of sin in your soul? Do you perceive a burden of anxiety over failure and departure from God lying upon your soldiers' shoulders? John Bunyan shows his Christian in Pilgrim's Progress at the start of the journey with a great burden on his back. He was weighed down by sin and in great distress. Sleep fled from him. He spent the nights in sighs and tears. He was in absolute misery. But evangelists pointed him in the right direction. And he gets to the cross. And when he gets to the cross, the burden is rolled away. Are there any who labor and are heavy laden? Only those that feel the burden of sin are invited. Only those who are sick of their sins and weary of serving the world and the flesh can come. Such was the experience of so many that we read about in the Bible. The prodigal son, the publican in the temple, those hearers who listened to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, Saul of Tarsus, the Philippian jailer, the list goes on, but they came to that place where they felt their need and they saw their need of Christ and they came to him. This is the necessary preparation for pardon and peace. Oh, poor sinner tonight, are you laboring under the burdens of life and laden with sin? Then Jesus says, come. Come unto me. And then, thank God, tonight there is a pleasant situation. Look at our text again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a blessing to those who come. Christ is our Noah, for the name Noah means rest. Truly, rest is good, especially to those that labor and are heavy laden. Unrest is one of the great characteristics of the world. Vexation, failure, and disappointment stare us in the face on every side, but there's hope. Jesus gives rest to the weary soul who comes to him by faith. It's not resting in your sin. It is resting from sin. It's not rest from trouble, but rest in trouble. There is rest from the terror of sin, for he gives peace of mind. There is rest from the power of sin, for he gives strength to overcome. There is a sweet and a blessed rest that is laid up for us. The apostle speaks about it in Hebrews chapter 4. Only Christ can give you rest. Have you ever tried to comfort a troubled heart? It's beyond our power. Only Jesus can do that. Rest is not found in mere ceremonial observances. It's found in Christ. Both the Wesleys and the great Whitfield fell for a time into the same mistake. In their endeavors to obtain peace of conscience, in addition to attending every ordinary service of the church, they received the sacrament every Sunday, they fasted every Wednesday and Friday, they retired regularly every morning and every evening for meditation and prayer, they wore the coarsest garments, they partook of the coarsest food, they visited the sick, taught the ignorant, ministered to the wants of the needy, and that he might have more to give away, John Wesley even for a time went barefooted. And yet with all this, they did not obtain peace for which their souls craved. Is there some weary, burdened sinner here tonight, and you feel your guilt? You feel your sin? Is there some pleasure seeker who cries with the wisest and the weariest of worldlings, vanity of vanities? Have you got that spiritual burden? You need deliverance from the guilt and the power of sin. Are you tired of the world? Are you tired of sin? Oh, why not listen to what the Lord is saying? Come unto me. Come without delay. Come in haste before it is forever too late. Come repenting of your sin. Come believing in Christ. Come as you are. And if you do, Jesus says, I will give you rest. A policeman came home from work one evening to find his little daughter wanting to play a game. Let's play school, she said. You be the teacher and I'll be the pupil. Happy to humor his daughter, the policeman asked her some easy questions. And then suddenly, she turned the game around. I'll be the teacher and you will be the pupil. And let's have a poetry lesson. Policeman got down on his knees. He settled in for the poetry lesson. It was to change his life and his destiny. Say this after me, said the little girl. Just as I am, without one plea, he repeated the line. But that thy blood was shed for me, again he repeated the line. And that thou bidst me come to thee, and again he repeated the line faultlessly. O Lamb of God, I come, said his daughter. Suddenly there was silence. Come on, Dad, she said, repeat the last line. School's over, said her father gently. For hours that evening, the policeman wrestled in his soul with the spiritual challenge brought by Charlotte Elliott's lovely hymn. He knew that if he truly came to Christ in repentance and faith, that he would be gladly received, but he hesitated to become a Christian. Finally, getting on his knees in prayer, he surrendered his life to Christ. He then quietly climbed the stairs and slipped into his daughter's bedroom and gently looking upon what he thought was his sleeping child, he whispered, O Lamb of God, I come. As he turned to go out of the room, little voice whispered back, You've got full marks now, Dad. Oh, my dear friends, you need to come to Christ if you're not saved. And Jesus gives you this invitation, Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come just as you are? Will you receive Christ?